So what do we want to call this? Community, spiritual, walk of the labyrinth. That's what we'll call it, the labyrinth walk. One of the things that I've been thinking about lately, aside from enjoying community, which we're going to talk about in this podcast, is also the walk of the labyrinth, or the labyrinth walk. And it's, shall we say, perhaps spiritual connotations. I'm not sure I understand it the way it is meant to be understood. I kind of have my own homegrown version of it. And we're going to talk about these layered experiences as a nomad, and these layered experiences and how I think they change me and have changed me and might change other people in podcast 1028, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Wouldn't be a Bob Davis podcast without a shout out for the guys at 36 Lynn, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lyndale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in South Minneapolis. What's so great about that store is the store. The store is the special sauce, so to speak. I've been mentioning the woman that did the post on Instagram that talked about the local honey that they have there that's so great for, you know, you use local honey to immunize yourself to local sorts of colds and things of that nature. And they have that there. So they have local honey there, which is really cool. They also do some pretty great events at 36 and Lynn, especially during the summer. So they got a great Instagram feed, and all the information is available there as well as at 36lynn.com. Next time you swing through Minneapolis, remember 36 and Lynn. If you need gas, you need a cup of coffee, and whatever else. They have great food and locally sourced food in the store at 36 Lynn, 36lynn.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. I always like to talk about the fact that Thanksgiving's coming up, and your brother-in-law and your best friend are going to be at Thanksgiving, and somebody's going to come up with some kind of a crazy idea. And that crazy idea, if you like to think of life as a process of starting businesses and making money and buying assets, could make you a lot of money if you get it manufactured at DepoStar, the manufacturer with an inventor's heart. So if you are considering American manufacturing, don't forget DepoStar, American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit them online at DepoStar.com. That's DepoStar, DepoStar.com. Well, it's a very interesting evening here in Arizona, just past sundown. And normally it is windy out here. In fact, it's usually fairly windy, fairly steady wind from some direction in most of the West, whether it's you know, the plains or Montana or, you know, anywhere in the West. My experience has been there's more wind. You don't get that many still evenings. I would say, as a Midwesterner, especially in the summer and the fall, there's quite a few, you know, perfectly still nights. Not so much in the winter or spring. It's very unusual, my experience here, and I've been sitting in this particular spot camping for nigh on to 3 weeks, and every night has been a nice wind blowing. I just want to set the stage because it's been great. These sunsets are just gorgeous here in Arizona. It's, I don't know, probably at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and the sun has set, and there's just the tailings of light in the western sky. There's a nice sort of tailing of clouds spraying out from the sunset. It's the kind of sunset that you see in Indiana in the fall, or you know, out on the plains, or if you're out in the, you know, in the farm country in Wisconsin, you'll see occasionally. If you're on a flat stretch, you'll see this beautiful sunset. And it casts kind of an interesting light, and it's early in the evening, you know, especially this time of the year, 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, it's over, and it's dark. Usually that is a signal, that's sort of the heralding of winter coming right around Thanksgiving. The harvest is over with, and the corn stalks are left in the field, and it's cold. It's really great to sit out in this field, and it's been 85, 90 degrees all day. And then in the evening, the heat kind of fades initially, but it's 70, 69, 70, and I'm sitting out here in my sort of denim shirt. Got my shoes on now. You see this beautiful sunset that you would associate, or at least I associate, with late fall, early winter in Wisconsin and Minnesota, and usually out on the farm. And it's just cold. You stand out. You can't stand out and really enjoy it because there's usually a pretty brisk wind blowing, and it's cold. Whereas here, no wind tonight, and even when there is, it's not cold per se. You get a little chill, but right now it's just beautifully warm. Got a fire going, watching the tailings of the sunset in the west, and the moon coming up across the way in the northeast, and it's just it's amazing. And it's great that you can enjoy that, and it's not cold. That's what I like about it. This podcast is about walking this labyrinth. Did a little research because I've been doing kind of some reviewing, and you know, it's been a year of nomading, and we have a new orientation due to high fuel prices, which I was pleased to see crude start to dip down, and we'll see what happens in the next few weeks. But you know, diesel is very expensive right now, and I just have no desire to spend that much money. So what I've done is forced myself to stay in one spot and then do shorter travel distances, which for me is not easy, because when it comes to the walk, the labyrinth, if you don't know, is essentially goes back to the ancient Greeks, and they would build kind of, it's not a maze because there's one way in and one way out, and you walk the labyrinth and you concentrate on every step and you use it as a spiritual exercise. So think of it as a rosary bead if you do that, if you're Catholic, or prayer beads where as you move the hand beads to your fingers, you're praying. I don't do that. And so the idea of a labyrinth is either an ancient Greek, Christian, or Eastern way to focus the thinking so that you have this moment of peace. My interpretation of it is more like the whole country is my labyrinth, from coast to coast and border to border and north to south. North America is my labyrinth, and I've been thinking about how I've been crossing back and forth. Now, of course, there's many ways in and many ways out, but for me it will do both as a you know, as just kind of a fun exercise, go here and see this, to this exercise of perhaps subconsciously I'm doing this labyrinth, this walk of the labyrinth. And the idea is that you walk the labyrinth and you come to some level of enlightenment, or alternately you come in contact with yourself or with God. I'm a little bit more cynical than that, but I do believe that this exercise, and as I've been doing a review more of the last year and the changes and the things that happened in the last year being a nomad, the more I think, the more I believe that this activity, this traveling, for the people that do it, why do people do it, right? And I'm not even going to try to answer that question because I don't even know why I'm doing it. I kind of do. A good friend of mine said, you're not seeking money, you're not seeking fame, you're seeking enlightenment. That's what you're doing. And maybe that's your life mission, this effort to find some kind of enlightenment. It's one of those things I'm not sure about. But I can tell you that this experience, I feel like a very different person from what I was when I pulled away from my house on October 31st, 2020. And I've talked about this a little bit. For one thing, a lot of the stuff that happens to, shall we say, I call them static people or normal people or people who have to live in town. And this isn't a value judgment. People who have to live in cities, people who have to be stationary for whatever reason, or because they choose to, because they want to, because they like it, which is okay too. I'm not saying that nomads are better. I'm just saying that for us, a lot of stuff that touches people in the stationary world and affects them and stresses them doesn't affect us. I mean, obviously, people have different varying degrees of stress, but even that, it's getting to the point where you see people and they need help, you try to help them. If you're stationary camping and there's a bunch of people, which is what I'm doing now, I really have had a good time the last almost 2 weeks because, well, it started when I decided to go in. I decided to stay. So the first thing that happened was I pulled in here and I was here for about 3 days, ran into some people that I know from Minnesota, and then they were like, well, we're going to Phoenix. If you can hang out for a little while, we'll come back and we'll hang out, whatever. So I said, okay. So I don't even remember when that was. So I stayed here for 3 or 4 days, and then I was in town doing my laundry on the 4th or 5th day, and I ran into my friend Oscar, or Big O. And if you're listening, Big O, Oscar and Ron were camped about 100 yards away from me to the north. And then there was another guy who used to be a train engineer, and he was parked just kind of diagonally about 70 yards, 50 yards away. And over time, we got kind of to know each other, and then on Eclipse night, they cooked ribs and potatoes and beans and, you know, everything. So Ron and Oscar used to work together in Los Angeles. Ron had a used car lot, and they would trick cars up and sell them, and, you know, they just knew what to do to sell to that community. And he sold that recently, and his wife died last year, I think, or just this year. And so he's kind of, you know, out in the RV wandering around, and Oscar's with him, and really fun guys. And they were giving Dave a hard time and giving me a hard time, and it was great. And so Oscar's the guy that I ran into doing laundry, because you run into everybody at the laundromat, because everybody's at the laundromat like three or four times a week. The whole thing with Quartzsite, if you don't know already, is there's a big RV rally in January. Usually, I think the second or third week of January. And this is when all the RV guys come here. There's a big RV show. There's rock, literally rock guys that sell rocks and quartz. And there's all these low slung buildings, and these pop-up RV dealers will just suddenly, right now their lots are empty, but in January they'll be full of RVs. Used RVs, new RVs. People come here to buy RVs. People come here to sell RVs. People come here to buy parts for RVs, solar, you know, antennas, all kinds of stuff. So the whole town just kind of comes alive during this period of time. And when I was at the laundromat, some lady was saying, boy, you come here 2 months from now and this will be standing room only. Everybody's like, I'm next, you know, because there are no laundromats. Well, you can go to the truck stop, but I don't know what their policy is in January. And that's Quartzsite, you know. And so it's kind of fun because it's community in the sense that you run into people at the place where you buy water. So you got to buy, if you want to fill up a 5 or 6 gallon, you know, tank, or your RV, it's $1 for 5 or 6 gallons. Or you can do the dump station. And this place has been there for years, and it's right on 95 as you come out of Quartzsite. And I ran into a lady there. We had a nice conversation. Every time she drives by, she honks. So I am, as I've told you, a couple of different podcasts. I'm on 95 north or south, but out of Quartzsite, it's 95 north, about 6 or 7 miles, State Route 95. And they have, and I've just learned that these are just most recently opened. These campsites, which are similar to the big BLM campsite in Quartzsite, which is, you know, it's all volcanic rock, ancient, spread out like gravel. And these campgrounds, you have dispersed camping. And there are so many. You sit here, and I like being close to the highway. I don't have to be. I can go 10 miles down the road, and these campgrounds are open all the way down. But I like being by the road because during the day, you sit here and you just see one RV after another. So I'm enjoying the community. And every time you meet, so people come and go. So one person leaves, another person comes, and then you get to know that person, and then they leave, and somebody else comes, then you leave. And everybody's kind of circulating around Quartzsite because the weather is fabulous, and you know, you got a fire pit and you can get juniper in town and you can get your laundry done in town. I love it because it's not a developed town. Yeah, there's some fast food places and stuff, but most of the businesses are hardscrabble, as I would describe them, businesses, because there's nobody here in the summer because it's 114 degrees every day, you know, so this place is dead in the summer. And then the people that are here with businesses, they got to make their money now because this is when people are here. This is my opportunity to just kind of sit and reflect. And as I'm doing this, as I have talked about in a couple of podcasts, you know, my effort is to try to develop a little bit more of a mission statement for what I'm trying to do. I am not, as I've said, I'm not uninterested. I'm not out to find the most amazing campsite. I'm not out to find, you know, or go to or visit the most beautiful national parks. It's weird because I've just been bent for leather or to run pell-mell across the country all this time. And what finally caused me to adjust my thinking and my approach here was realizing that I was spending a lot of money for fuel. And so I decided, well, what do I need to do to address that? How do I orient myself to this and continue to be able to do this? And it basically comes down to, oddly enough, at just the time when I was looking for an excuse to do it, is to just stop down and spend some time someplace and get to know it and understand it. So now the mission sort of evolving into, you know, getting to know places a little bit more deeply rather than passing through. And it's very interesting, and we'll talk about that in the second half of this podcast. Well, these days you have to get up and move if you want to stay healthy. I've been doing yoga every day here in the desert, and it is fantastic. A lot of times people need help, but people also have a lot of experience with doing stuff on Zoom. And so BU can help you out, especially if you're working at your desk at home or if you have a team working remotely or even in an office. BU gives you a powerful toolbox to help you guys be your best self right where you are all day long. So everybody can be grounded, centered, calm, stronger, and free, as well as each of you being you, right? Get the toolbox for yourself or your whole team. Visit buenterprises.com for more information, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And there is a discount code for teams and for individuals. If you want 20% off, enter Bob on the packages for a better deal. That's B-O-B. So that's the Bob Davis Podcast discount code at BU. When you're passing through, and you're just staying one night, moving on, staying one night, moving on, going here, going there, you know, on the road to whatever. And especially with me, half the time, I don't even know where I'm going. I kind of do when I get up in the morning. Okay, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over there. And it's all about, it has been all about the therapy of driving and this concept of driving as a meditation, or sitting in front of a fire as a meditation. Now it's becoming just sitting, because when you sit, then you start to meet people, because people come by, you know, especially with this truck, you know, they come by and they go, hey, a nice rig, and they want to talk, and you get to know people, and everybody knows you by your rig. So when you meet people, you're like, oh yeah, you're the guy with the, you know, you got the, you know, you got the North Star, or you got the Lance, or you got that big, you know, Tiffin RV, or what's that like, or what year is that? And everybody talks about their rig, and that's kind of the common ground to get to know each other is, oh, you got that, or you've got this, or what's this guy like, or what's the story with these people. And then when, like, Ron left this morning, and Oscar left this afternoon, actually closer to sundown, and he's going to Joshua Tree, and then he's going to LA for Thanksgiving. He was like, hey man, I got to get your card so I can let you know, well, where are you going? Well, I'm going to go down across 10. There's more campgrounds, and then you can pay like a seasonal rate, and then you have access to all these campgrounds unlimited. So the deal is, with most BLM, you have to register. You put this ticket on your windshield, and it gives you 15 days of hanging out, 14 days. Then you got to go 25 miles away for the rest of the month, and then you can come back. Well, if you pay a seasonal fee, well, then you have access to all the campgrounds. You can stay as long as you want, and you don't have to worry about leaving. So I'm leaving on somewhere around the 26th. He left today. They were here a couple, you know, like a week or so earlier than I was. But we're going to reconnect, which is really cool, because then it's like, okay, where are you going to be? We're going to meet up, and we'll go to this campground, or we'll go to that campground, or what, you know, you're able to communicate. And this is all new to me, because I've kind of been antisocial, and now I'm starting to, it's very interesting, because for the first year, it was a big novelty of, oh, I'm on the road, and I'm a nomad, and I'm going all these places, and this is amazing, and it is, to be able to go here or go there. But I've learned some stuff, and one of the things I've learned is, I don't have any desire to be cold, and everyone goes, oh, you should go to Florida. Well, the problem with Florida is sometimes it's warm and sometimes it isn't. And when it's cold, it's really freaking cold because it's humid. Whereas here, you know, it's warm during the day, and it gets to a certain temperature in the desert, and that's it, you know, and you kind of know what you're going to deal with, because the weather doesn't change that much. About the only thing that happens is it gets cloudy, and it will get a little cooler, you know, high 50, high 60 in the winter, but you always have the sun. Or going to the Gulf, which I did 2 years in a row. I went to Florida, I went to the Gulf, I drove all over the Southeast in search of warmth. The bottom line is, when you get to January, most of the country is just cold. I don't care where you are. And you know, when you're raised in Chicago, and I often tell the story about my dad would go warm the wagon up, and there'd be a big cloud of condensing exhaust in the air and snow everywhere, and it was 10 below, and you know, the sun was just coming up, and it was that bleak sort of winter, and we would be getting all of our stuff together to put in the car, and my mom was turning all the stuff off, and you know, then we'd have to go back because she thought she left the iron on, and we would drive down to Florida. You'd get up at 5 o'clock or whatever time it was, right before the sun came up, so you know, we'd be leaving about 7 or 6:30. My dad was always hot footing it and couldn't wait to get, and then he'd be smoking the whole way with the windows up, which was so I always took the way back. My sister took the middle seat, and you know, we had all of our little things that we brought with us to keep us from getting bored, and I'd always just go back to sleep, and then I'd wake up, and it would be raining, and we'd be driving in southern Illinois, and then you'd get to Tennessee, and that was usually the first stop, somewhere around Kentucky or Lookout Mountain or someplace like that. Second day, you'd stop in Valdosta. You know, we're going to stop when we get to Valdosta. Well, what's Valdosta? Georgia. And then the next day was the day you'd drive from, you know, Valdosta all the way down to Jupiter, Florida. The whole time we're putting our hand on the window and asking when it's going to get warm, and we'd be going down for Christmas, so it would be December, you know, 20th or something, and you get down there, and to a kid from the north, you know, 65 felt like summer, but now you go down there, and I'm sorry, but 65 is not warm. So this driving everywhere, the bottom line is there's this little triangle part of Arizona and California, the desert, so that includes Los Angeles, and you know, San Diego is pretty consistent, but if you stay away from the seashore and you stay in the desert, it's warm. This is where everybody comes because this is the best place to be all winter. I really don't want to say because I don't want people to come down here, but it's better. So the thing I've learned is there's no point in chasing your tail to get warm. Go where it's warm and be done with it. And this is, and I didn't know about quartzite when I first started. I discovered all this. I knew about quartzite after the movie Nomadland, which has kind of made this place a weird sort of destination in the short term. But I discovered quartzite, just drove here and figured out there was BLM land and came here. And that was before they made the movie. And so I didn't really, I guess I came for the RV show because I heard there's a big RV show in quartzite. And that's what I was doing here. And then, you know, my mom died and I had to drive back to Virginia and all that. So the spiritual walk, the labyrinth, if you will, for me, up and down, over, crisscrossing, and now I'm starting to go and see places and be in places I've been before. My son works for one of the big news organizations, and he was here shooting on the Navajo Nation, and then they had to go to Gallup, and he was like, what's Gallup like? And I was like, well, it's seen better days. Let's just put it that way. And he sent me these pictures of this hotel he stayed in. He goes, this place is whacked. And I was like, oh, I know that. I've been there. I've been to that. I had breakfast at that hotel. It's really funny. And it's just, I realize how many places I've been, but I haven't stayed. And I haven't said, hey, I like Bisbee, Arizona. I'm going to hang out in Bisbee for a month. This is an opportunity to sort of slow down. Is there enlightenment? And I feel like I got to answer the question in the podcast. I can't just muse about this. I feel calmer. I feel more accepting. I really don't care. It's funny because you have political conversations with people and I tell them, you know, I really don't care about these things, these details, what this guy says or what that guy says. I just don't care. You know, it's going to be what it is as far as I'm concerned. And letting go. A lot of this is letting go. And, you know, I don't know what it's like because I never did it when I was 25. And I don't think I could have let go when I was 25 because what do you have to let go of? You know, you have your whole life in front of you and you're pushing to accomplish something. And I'm still pushing to accomplish something, but it's a different frequency. A lot in life experience that you just have to let go of in order to experience fully the moment where you are. And I think that, in a sense, is kind of what a walk or a labyrinth is all about. Am I looking for something? Am I looking for to achieve something, some kind of enlightenment or whatever? Well, this is part of this whole mission statement, you know, that I'm struggling with in terms of defining, because I would have defined the mission statement early in the process as enlightenment. Again, my mission statement isn't to go to every state park in the country or to go to every BLM campground in the country or visit every truck stop in the country. I don't have one of those weird things. So now that I'm just here, at first I thought, gee, I don't know what to think of this. I don't know if I like this idea of being stationary. I don't know if that's, you know, a good thing. And now I'm starting to really like it. I'm not even thinking about where I want to go next. Somebody said, where are you going next? And I'm like, I don't know. Don't care. I'm just here right now. And sometimes I don't even know what day it is. And I'm working. I mean, I'm reviewing, I'm working, I'm writing, I'm doing things, you know, and doing podcasts. There, I'm beginning to come to some resolutions about certain things, which I'll talk about in future podcasts, because again, this is the whole process of how things change and how we change when we really make a commitment to living, you know, on the road and living as a nomad. You have these feelings and they're very hard to put into words. I try. You know, and I hope I'm giving somebody a sense of where it goes. You know, I traveled a lot before I made a full commitment to being on the road. But having that tether is not the same as not having the tether. Like right now, I could sit here for 6 months, you know, and it wouldn't make any difference. As long as I pay my $180, I can sit in the same spot for all winter long. Wouldn't make any difference. Right now I'm just giddy that I'm not spending money. I'm saving a boatload of money right now. I mean, that's probably the best thing of all. I do feel that there have been a lot of changes, and I am changing, and I am a lot calmer, and I am a lot less judgmental, and I have my good days and my bad days when it comes to that stuff. So you're hearing a lot of talk about inflation these days and how everybody's trying to save money. And when you think about saving money, you don't think about necessarily paying taxes in the high tax state that you live in. If you're on the road and you're a nomad and you've got your stuff registered back in Illinois or Massachusetts or Minnesota or someplace like that, let's talk about South Dakota and the fact that the tax bill, if you're a resident of South Dakota, if your businesses are registered in South Dakota, and if the plates on your RV are South Dakota plates, well, it is a lot cheaper and you save a lot of money. In fact, that's a few Phillips, if you think about it, when it comes to this inflation issue. And long after inflation is over, you're going to be saving money. So who takes care of that? privacypost.io. They do virtual mail service. They do South Dakota residency. They do legal business addresses. They also do privacy trustee management. And they have mobile data and VPN hardware, which I have in this truck, which enables me to upload data. Even though I have great cellular service here, without the PepWave as administered by privacypost.io, I would have issues uploading podcasts. Whereas this, I fire up the PepWave, zoopity boop bop, I am up and the data's up and everything's great, and I can do my blog and I can do my data very, very easily. So here's what you do. Go to privacypost.io. They've got a smorgasbord of essentially a la carte services. You don't have to take one without the other. You can get your plates registered in South Dakota. You can, you know, get virtual mail. Whatever you want to do, contact privacypost.io or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Do appreciate the likes and shares and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, and appreciate Sander Amiot, $25. Thank you for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com, as well as checking me out on iTunes, the granddaddy, Amazon and Audible now, also Google Podcasts, Stitcher.com, and TuneIn and more, especially right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, where there's a blog. And you can also, there's a player, you can listen to streaming audio, and you also can click on individual podcasts and listen to them or download them right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to Podcast 1028, Run in the Labyrinth, or Spiritual Journey, or Community in Labyrinth, or whatever I decided to call this crazy podcast. Thanks for listening. It's Saturday night in Quartzsite. I'm going to have some fun. Bye-bye.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sailed into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry, smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And where that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear that I wanna rock your gypsy soul. Just like way back in the days of old. Yeah, magnificently we will fold into the mystic.